PETA, it turns out, has never been a danger to me. The thought makes me smile. I drop my hands and hold my face up to the moonlight so the cameras can be sure to catch it. So, who is there left to be afraid of? Foxface? The boy tribute from her district is dead. She's operating alone at night. And her strategy has been to evade, not attack. I don't really think that even if she heard my voice, she'd do anything but hope someone else would kill me. Then there's Thresh. All right, he's a distinct threat. But I haven't seen him, not once since the games began. I think about how Foxface grew alarmed when she heard a sound at the site of the explosion. But she didn't turn to the woods. She turned to whatever lies across from it, to that area of the arena that drops off into I don't know what. I feel almost certain that the person she ran from was Thresh, and that is his domain. He'd never have heard me from there, and even if he did, I'm up too high for someone his size to reach. So that leaves Kato and the girl from District 2, who are now surely celebrating the new rule. They're the only ones left who benefit from it besides PETA and myself. Do I run from them now, on the chance they heard me call PETA's name? No, I think. Let them come. Let them come with their night vision glasses and their heavy branch-breaking bodies. Right into the range of my arrows. But I know they won't. If they didn't come in daylight to my fire, they won't risk what could be another trap at night. When they come, it will be on their own terms, not because I've let them know my whereabouts. Stay put and get some sleep, Katniss, I instruct myself, although I wish I could start tracking PETA now. Tomorrow, you'll find him. I do sleep, but in the morning I'm extra cautious, thinking that while the couriers might hesitate to attack me in a tree, they're completely capable of setting an ambush for me. I make sure to fully prepare myself for the day, eating a big breakfast, securing my pack, readying my weapons before I descend. But all seems peaceful and undisturbed on the ground. Today, I'll have to be scrupulously careful. The couriers will know I'm trying to locate PETA. They may well want to wait until I do before they move in. If he's as badly wounded as Kato thinks, I'd be in the position of having to defend us both without any assistance. But if he's that incapacitated, how has he managed to stay alive? And how on earth will I find him? I try to think of anything PETA ever said that might give me an indication as to where he's hiding out, but nothing rings a bell. So I go back to the last moment I saw him sparkling in the sunlight, yelling at me to run. Then Kato appeared, his sword drawn. And after I was gone, he wounded PETA. But how did PETA get away? Maybe he'd held out better against the Tracker Jacker poison than Kato. Maybe that was the variable that allowed him to escape. But he'd been stung too. So how far could he have gotten? Stabbed and filled with venom. And how has he stayed alive all these days since? If the wound and the stingers haven't killed him, surely thirst would have taken him by now. And that's when I get my first clue to his whereabouts. He couldn't have survived without water. I know that from my first few days here. He must be hidden somewhere near a source. There's the lake, but I find that an unlikely option since it's so close to the courier's base camp. A few spring-fed pools. But you'd really be a sitting duck at one of those. And the stream. The one that leads from the camp ruin I made all the way down near the lake and beyond. If he stuck to the stream, he could change his location and always be near water. He could walk in the current and erase any tracks. He might even be able to get a fish or two. Well, it's a place to start, anyway. To confuse my enemies' minds, I start a fire with plenty of green wood. Even if they think it's a ruse, I hope they'll decide I'm hidden somewhere near it. While, in reality, I'll be tracking PETA. The sun burns off the morning haze almost immediately, and I can tell the day will be hotter than usual. The water's cool and pleasant on my bare feet as I head downstream. I'm tempted to call out PETA's name as I go, but decide against it. I will have to find him with my eyes and one good ear, or he will have to find me. But he'll know I'll be looking, right? He won't have so low of an opinion of me as to think I'd ignore the new rule and keep to myself. would he? He's very hard to predict, which might be interesting under different circumstances, but at the moment only provides an extra obstacle. It doesn't take long to reach the spot where I peeled off to go to the careers camp. There's been no sign of PETA, but this doesn't surprise me. I've been up and down this stretch 3 times since the Tracker Jacker incident. If he were nearby, surely I'd have had some suspicion of it. The stream begins to curve to the left into a part of the woods that's new to me. Muddy banks covered in tangled water plants lead to large rocks that increase in size until I begin to feel somewhat trapped. It would be no small matter to escape the stream now, fighting off Cato or Thresh as I climbed over this rocky terrain. In fact, I've just about decided I'm on the wrong track entirely, that a wounded boy would be unable to navigate getting to and from this water source, when I see the bloody streak going down the curve of a boulder. It's long dried now, but the smeary lines running side to side suggest someone who perhaps was not fully in control of his mental faculties tried to wipe it away. Hugging the rocks, I move slowly in the direction of the blood, searching for him. I find a few more blood stains, one with a few threads of fabric glued to it, but no sign of life. I break down and say his name in a hushed voice. PETA! PETA! Then a mockingjay lands on a scruffy tree and begins to mimic my tone, so I stop. I give up and climb back down to the stream thinking, he must have moved on somewhere farther down. My foot has just broken the surface of the water when I hear a voice.
You here to finish me off, sweetheart?
I whip around. It's come from the left, so I can't pick it up very well, and the voice was hoarse and weak. Still, it must have been PETA. Who else in the arena would call me sweetheart? My eyes peruse the bank, but there's nothing. Just mud, the plants, the base of the rocks. PETA, I whisper, where are you? There's no answer. Could I just have imagined it? No, I'm certain it was real and very close at hand, too. PETA! I creep along the bank.
Well, don't step on me.
I jump back. His voice was right under my feet. Still, there's nothing. Then, his eyes open, unmistakably blue in the brown mud and green leaves. I gasp and am rewarded with a hint of white teeth as he laughs. It's the final word in camouflage. Forget chucking weights around. PETA should have gone into his private session with the game makers and painted himself into a tree, or a boulder, or a muddy bank full of weeds. Close your eyes again, I order. He does, and his mouth too, and completely disappears. Most of what I judge to be his body is actually under a layer of mud and plants. His face and arms are so artfully disguised as to be invisible. I kneel beside him. I guess all those hours decorating cakes paid off. PETA smiles.
Yes, frosting, the final defense of the dying.
You're not gonna die, I tell him firmly.
Says who?
His voice is so ragged. Says me. We're on the same team now, you know, I tell him. His eyes open.
So I heard. Nice of you to find what's left of me.
I pull out my water bottle and give him a drink. Did Cato cut you? I ask.
Left leg up high,
he answers. Let's get you in the stream, wash you off so I can see what kind of wounds you've got, I say.
Lean down a minute first,
he says.
Need to tell you something.
I lean over and put my good ear to his lips, which tickle as he whispers.
Remember, we're madly in love, so it's all right to kiss me anytime you feel like it.
I jerk my head back but end up laughing. Thanks, I'll keep it in mind. At least he's still able to joke around. But when I start to help him to the stream, all the levity disappears. It's only 2 feet away. How hard can it be? Very hard when I realize he's unable to move an inch on his own. He's so weak that the best he can do is not to resist. I try to drag him, but despite the fact that I know he's doing all he can to keep quiet, sharp cries of pain escape him. The mud implants seem to have imprisoned him, and I finally have to give a gigantic tug to break him from their clutches. He's still 2 feet from the water, lying there, teeth gritted, tears cutting trails in the dirt on his face.